Welcome to the 37th episode of the Game 4 podcast. In this episode, still recording from home, we'll be talking about using tabletop gaming to find the positives to this currently negative world. I'm Adam.
I'm Matt.
And we're part of Game 4. Game 4 is the app for connecting tabletop gamers, which is currently hibernated because of the overall kind of global pandemic, and people shouldn't be getting together right now to game in person. But because it's hibernated, we've kept on with the podcast and to talk about how to do things like what we're going to be talking about today, how to keep yourself positive and how to keep yourself motivated in gaming and how to look at new games and all kinds of different things. And we do this every 2 weeks, and we're going to keep doing this to hopefully help the gaming people, the gaming, audience, and to do what we can while we can during this time. So, what have you been doing with your time recently, Matt?
So I recently got another adventure into our long-running D&D campaign. Long-running for me because normally after, like 5 or 6 sessions, it just falls apart. But the nice thing about the pandemic is nobody can go anywhere. So I've been able to captivate my audience. They recently leveled up, and we're starting to explore new areas of the dungeon, and our stealthy ranger guy got some protection gear and decided that he no longer needed to be stealthy, and picked the exact wrong part of the dungeon to use that new character trait. So it brought out, I think when I first counted, about 50 or 60 characters, creatures and bad guys and stuff that all ended up in one battle that took us about 4 hours to complete. It was absolutely insane.
Wow. Yeah.
I was one of those, I don't know how I could have run this on a regular table. I would have had to probably turn it into a more of a role play than an actual combat, because there's no way I would have been able to, even with dice, keep track of all the numbers.
I mean, just like with that, that's one of the benefits, honestly, of playing virtually like this, is that the bookkeeping, I think, can be a bit easier in certain situations.
Yeah. And I don't even want to know how long it would have taken either. But yeah, it was kind of crazy. And it was funny, too, because I was the description for the campaign, they're like, if this happens in this room, this happens. And it's like it just cascaded everything at just the wrong point that it made it kind of epically funny. But no, they actually made it out fairly unscathed, not too bad. There's a few that I think were getting nervous, but I think that's our biggest battle today for sure.
It's always good to make the players a bit nervous, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But then again, I'm getting a character ready for a D&D one-shot that someone I met through Game 4, actually. He's going to be doing a one-shot for a few people, a couple guys that I game with normally, some people he knows. It sounds like it's going to be kind of Halloween themed, which will be fun. But yeah, I get to be a character rather than a DM. So looking forward to being on the other side of the table for that.
Yeah. And then that way you don't want to be that nervous then, I suppose.
Right. I want to, a challenge, but not too challenging. I want to, kick butt, take names and all that fun stuff.
And lots of fat loot at the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What other kind of things you've been doing? Have you been doing anything crafty?
Not totally crafty. I've been doing a lot more 3D printing. Got some buildings coming together. Actually found a new filament printer supplier, which is nice because I had been pretty much... there was a local one that I was trying to use, but I just... As much as I'd like to shop local, everyone that I know of, it seems like, has had issues with their filament, and I'm having issues with the filament with it snapping halfway through a print. So I'm not even getting clogs. It's just in the extruder, it's just breaking because it's not flexible in some parts. And so basically just all of a sudden, no filament gets fed in and my print is ruined. So I got off of them and really did not want to go back to Amazon, but that's really the only place I was fine that with shipping it was, cost effective, but then found a new supplier that's, I believe they're out of Florida. But yeah, I'm getting it for actually even cheaper than I was getting for Amazon. And I bought three rolls and about halfway through the first roll, and it's really good filament so far. So there was one piece of a building that kind of was in different parts that I had to reprint because I found that there were some parts that didn't come out right on the first print. So I reprinted it with the new stuff. And so I actually could see it like side by side. And yeah, there's a remarkable quality difference, which is always fun. So it's nice to get better quality and cheaper prices for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. That is beneficial. Yeah. I guess I never realized that there were so many, I mean, I've done a relatively limited amount of 3D printing in comparison to you specifically, but yeah, I've only ever used like the 3D printing filament that I got like from the same place that I got my 3D printer, like Monoprice.
Sure.
And I guess I've never, I mean, I've not like tweaked my machine like you do. And I don't probably try to go to such tight tolerances either, I think, but it has been a while since I printed. So I bet you if I tried to use that stuff now, although like I've got, I think at least one or two reels or whatever that are still like sealed and like airtight, like vacuum pack little, you know, baggies. Cause that's what the way that filament generally comes is it usually comes
right
in like air.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's really, it's trying to keep the moisture out of it. So like for stuff I have open, I've got a sealable like tote. And then all of the like silica gel packs that I get from, you know,
any kind of electronic. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You buy, it seems like you get it in a lot of stuff. I just kind of toss them all in there. So it's actually pretty filled with that stuff. And then just kind of store stuff in there. And it seems to work pretty well. There was some filament that I just used that I hadn't used since pre-pandemic. So you're looking at 7-8 months at least since I had probably used it last. And it started printing fine. You wouldn't have known that it hadn't been used for a while. So,
absolutely.
Whereas like the stuff I was talking about earlier was like fresh out of the bag, brand new stuff, but
and still yeah, it was causing trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. So far filament's been getting a lot easier to find. Like there was a couple months where it was, you were just lucky to find like anything that was available. Now it's kind of gotten to the other extreme where there seems to be some new brands out there and everybody seems to be almost overstocked. And so yeah, prices are coming back down, quality's going up. So
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, let's see. I've been working on, and I mentioned this in the last episode, that I was building the Nighthaunt, warband for Warcry. They're kind of, spooky, ghosty dudes. From Games Workshop. It's part of the fantasy line, the Age of Sigmar stuff. And I'm going to be using them for Age of Sigmar Warcry, which is kind of a skirmishy kind of offshoot of Age of Sigmar. It's kind of like Kill Team is to Warhammer 40K, Age of Sigmar, Warcry is to Age of Sigmar. Okay. But so still played on a very small board and usually played with relatively few models, like usually less than 15 or so. I had built them all up and then I, you know, textured their bases and did all that stuff, primed them. And then I used Turbo Dork actually on all of them for their main coloring.
I saw that. That came out really nice.
The turbo shifty kind of colory stuff. So that was... I was thinking about like what colors I was going to do them in and all that stuff. And then I started thinking, well, I've got a bunch of Turbo Dork anyway. And so I could use that and that would be kind of cool. And I don't want to say ethereal, but a little, you know, just the sparkly kind of stuff. So yeah, I've been doing that. I started painting on Twitch with those. I did two sessions. I did Friday last week and then this past Monday. And the first six are done. I just have to finish up their bases. I don't usually paint the bases too much on stream because it's sort of boring. So the next stream that I do will be on Friday. And it will be actually, it'll be the 23rd and I'll be working on, I won't be working on the Warcry guys. I'll instead be working on some board game pieces because I'll be painting, technically I will be streaming through the Board Game Geek Twitch channel, but I will be hosting it on my channel as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
from what I understand. I'm not sure. I don't know how I'm going to see the chat very easily. I haven't figured that part out yet. This is a new thing. Usually I just stream direct to my channel, but because it's, long story short, this is for Essen. Mm-hmm. So Essen is like the largest tabletop gaming convention slash trade show in the world. It takes place in Germany, Essen, Germany, strangely enough.
Right.
It's called Essen Spiel.
Right. So and, big that, that you just have to say where it's at versus the actual like Essen Spiel name. Like,
right. Exactly. Like,
like Cannes, you know, like everyone knows that Cannes is the.
But yeah, so it's I'm working with the folks from Board Game Geek again. And so I'll be painting just on Friday earlier than usual. I usually start at like 10 in the morning. I'll be starting at 8 in the morning. And painting for 3 hours, talking about some sort of board game pieces. I haven't honestly completely 100%. I think it's probably going to be some Hellboy parts just because I have them. But
Yeah, I wasn't sure if like they had ones that they asked you specifically to do. Or
I mean, we have in the past. Like I did those models Gloomhaven. The Gloomhaven Jaws of the Lion. Yeah. I did those. They sent to me. But this time I was like, well, this is what I've got, and they're pretty cool models, and so we're gonna go with that. I think.
Very
anyway,
cool.
But yeah, so I'll be doing that, and then potentially I might actually paint on Twitch on my own channel again on Saturday to kind of get caught up a little bit with the Night Haunts. But yeah, so I've, like I said, I got the first six done. There are a total of maybe 14 in my entire group. So I need to get the next group of four. These first six that I got done are called Chain Rasps. And the next four I'll be doing will be, I believe, something Reapers, Grimghast Reapers, something like that. So yeah, and then I'm slowly finishing up. I was working on those Three Pigs models from Monkstone Miniatures. I was doing those on Twitch before I started doing the Night Haunt stuff. And I got them close to finish, and then I wanted to get the Night Haunts done, and so I'm just finishing up the Three Pigs. Again, it's mainly basing and stuff like that. So,
yep, nice.
Yeah, been keeping busy with the paint stuff on that front there. But yeah, the thing with Essen is going to be cool because I like working with the folks from Board Game Geek on that because it allows me to, it's a bit of a diversification, but it also allows me to hopefully get some folks who are more into board gaming to understand that they could be painting the miniatures that come with their board games, and it's not as hard as they might think. And it's, I like to show a lot of beginner techniques and stuff like that. So hopefully that'll help to get some people into that, some more people into that hobby as well, because I think it's just a good hobby to be in. It's, you know,
yeah, if I could do it, folks, anybody can do it.
Right. But it helps to like relieve stress and to, you know, hopefully, you know, make you feel better and things like that. And as it turns out currently, we kind of need that and a lot of other things. Yeah. So
yeah, we were basically talking, was it Monday? Or I think it was,
I think it was Monday. Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, like nothing's, you know, while there's, you know, not great stuff going on in our lives all the time, there wasn't anything like particularly bad either. But both of us were just talking about how we just were off, you know, and we figured after talking for a while that we probably weren't the only ones out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just been, unless you've been under a rock, you know that we've had this sort of global pandemic thing going on for a while now. Here in the US, it really started to take off in March. Matt and I actually had just gotten back from the GAMA, the Game Manufacturers Association.
We were even there we were just finishing up.
We were just getting back from GAMA, the GAMA trade show in Reno, Nevada, which is a big trade show for publishers and game designers and store owners and all kinds of stuff like that. And we had been there with the Game 4 booth. And it had already started a little bit in the beginning. Like we had already started, like there were people that were like saying, we're not going to go to the convention because we're concerned and whatnot. And we got back from the convention on Friday the 13th, if I remember correctly, of March.
Yes.
I remember we were flying back on Friday the 13th, and I was like, I don't know if I want to fly on Friday the 13th. And then kind of basically after that is when everything started getting, you know, like locked down and all kinds of stuff like that. So
right.
It's been 7-ish months, roughly, at this point. And so I've been talking to people, you know, on Twitch and people commenting through, you know, YouTube channel, and we, you know, people commenting through our YouTube channel for the Game 4 podcast and the Game 4 stuff. And we've been hearing from people who are like, this is, you know, it's obviously, it's a, even if you're not affected directly, like you're not sick. And even if you've still got, you know, like a job and can still go and, you know, work from home or something like that. I mean, those are very obviously very problematic as effects go, you know, I mean,
right.
Even if those things are not in your particular sphere of your life right now, there's still a lot of other things that are affecting us, all of us. I mean, this is like pretty unprecedented really within our lifetimes. I mean, people talk about the Spanish flu from the early 1900s and things like that. And, you know, but right now, you know, we need to be staying home for the most part. We need to, you know, obviously very, very limited travel, and,
right.
and no big groups, right? Which means like no gaming conventions,
right?
You know,
it's 6 feet. It's hard to game with. And
yeah. And like I was just mentioning about the Essen Spiel, doing a, you know, digital like virtual convention. That's what most of the big conventions have done so far this year. Gen Con. Let me think. Gen Con, what's another big one?
That, Origins. Did?
Yeah, well, Origins didn't. They were going to, and then they didn't.
That's right.
Yeah, they were planning on it, but they didn't do it. But there were, I also worked with, there's a couple of like the Board Game Geek and Dice Tower got together and did a virtual convention. And I know that I also did some stuff for virtual San Diego Comic-Con. That's the other one I was thinking of. So yeah, yes. there's been some of that, and it's had some success, but it's obviously not the same, you know, and playing in stores, if you're into doing that, like if you're, you know, predominantly it's Magic players and miniatures folks that like to play in stores. Although sometimes you see people who play in stores for D&D and things like that.
Games, yeah.
Man, and even board games once in a while, you'll have some stores that are able to foster a pretty decent board game night. But like all of that stuff's kind of generally on hold. Like one of our local stores here where I live is they're looking at probably actually like they've been kind of on and off with the stuff happening in store. Well, they're now looking at actually just because specifically in this part of Wisconsin, the numbers have been crazy lately. So much that we've been ending up in the national news, they're looking at kind of closing down the store, not the store, but the gaming area, and just basically making it more retail area, at least until everything kind of blows over.
Right.
Cause he's got an entire other store that he uses basically as storage. It's his old store, and he moved into this new store, but he kept renting the old store as storage. And now he's trying to bring that stuff over, and he's going to probably put
that
it in
makes
there.
Sense.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of business owners in general who are definitely trying to figure out how to, you know, make changes and things like that. Now, that being said, we're finding that just through our talking to people in the industry, that honestly, the tabletop gaming industry is, for the most part, doing actually surprisingly well.
Yeah, especially, yeah, from the publisher and the supply side is doing pretty mm-hmm. good. Sound like even like game stores, now that they've kind of accepted the new norm, for the most part are doing all right, especially as the supply line gets a little bit more robust. I know that there was some stuff with distribution centers being closed and stuff like mm-hmm. that delayed or severely hit release dates and everything else. But as that stuff is starting to kind of become more standard, it sounds like even that's kind of helped out to the point where, you know, some of them are actually even having like record years for selling stuff. Like
it depends on the store. I think if the store is very Magic the Gathering heavy, they're having a bit of a rough time. Because the Magic the Gathering crowd, they can't get together and play Friday Night Magic and all that kind of stuff. Like that's not just like the stores. That's the publisher is just saying you shouldn't be doing it. And if you're doing it and registering in the DCI, from what I've been told by a friend of mine who owns a store, that the DCI is like, don't put numbers in here because you're not supposed to be doing it because it's a whole thing. So like Wizards has been saying, look, stop doing it. But that being said, there's also now Magic the Gathering Arena, which is a, think it's a PC game. It's maybe on PlayStation and stuff like that too. I don't know, but it's a video game version.
Right.
And they've been, and I know a lot of people who have been playing Magic for a long time are now moving to that because they can still play games and still keep their chops up or whatever. But mm-hmm. because of that, if you're a store owner and if you were heavily, heavily into Magic, probably you're seeing sales down. Now, on the other hand, if you were pushing into stuff specifically like miniatures, I know Games Workshop is doing record numbers, and I know several other paint manufacturers and things like that are doing like just absolutely banging business right now because so many people are kind of sitting at home and like, well, I got a bunch of extra time, you know,
right?
I can get some painting done, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a sec. But it getting together even to play with your friends, like if you were just going to be like, hey, let's get together and just play over at my house, in a lot of situations is not a great idea either. Just because, and you know, it kind of depends on where you live and things like that, but you know, you may get sick and you may be young enough and healthy enough that it's fine, but you could also potentially get it and give it to somebody else who is maybe older or got some other sort of health problem. And so these are always the things that we're, you know, that we're concerned with. You know, so that's the kind of stuff that can be. Obviously, for a person who's been a serious gamer or even a semi-serious gamer for a while, someone who's been playing a lot, all of a sudden you're in a situation where now you're not able to do it as much, and that can wear on you.
Right. Or just, just the monotony of the days. I know that, mm-hmm. you know, there's some times when I'm like, oh, it's the weekend? Okay. I guess that just means I don't log into my computer. Everything else is pretty much the same.
Sure, right, yeah. You're kind of not going too many places and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, obviously, and you've probably felt this as I have and as you, the listener, probably have, there's, even though you're not doing much necessarily, it still increases anxiety and stress. And so the idea, hopefully, is that with tabletop gaming, we can find ways to reduce that to some degree or at least help to mitigate it in some fashion. And you were talking a little bit about like nostalgia and comfort games to make you like feel better. Is that a thing? I mean, I'm assuming that's something you do yourself personally.
Yeah. Well, and that was it was kind of something I had read about, I don't know, several months ago. It was talking about the reason why some people will go and, you know, watch old shows again and or read an old book, you know, a book that they've read before. You know, and there's definitely people that will absolutely never do that. I know my mom will never watch a movie if she's seen it before for some reason. But whereas I find comfort in just watching it over and over again, and that they've started doing studies and they found that people that are more prone or more likely to do that kind of thing are usually people that have more anxiety or stress issues. Because it's for them, they don't have to go through that whole, you know, like first, second, third stage of, you know, the build up, the tension and the conclusion of stuff. They, you know, they know that, you know, how everything's going to end, that, you know, this is going to be okay. And, you know, all this stuff. So the anxiety doesn't build up through it. So they find more comfort watching that kind of stuff than, you know, doing new stuff. And I've seen, you know, that with myself. I've been rewatching old shows a lot more often lately. Definitely finding that watching lighter stuff, like, you know, rather than watching something that's really deep and dark, while I still like that from time to time, there's some times I'll just put on, some kind of, you know, situation comedy that, you know, most of the time I might have been like, yeah, that's going to be kind of boring or not really my thing. But sometimes just having that like non-emotional investment in the characters and just know that, by the end of the 30 minutes or 22 minutes or whatever it is, everything's going to work out and everything's going to just be fine again is good. And so I've been kind of looking at that with games as well. Like, you know, right now, do I want to spend 6 hours playing a really deep game or am I finding that, you know, even playing, you know, some silly games like Apples to Apples or, you know, Cards Against Humanity or, you know, stuff where it's more
with the family and whatnot.
Lightweight. Yeah, lightweight with the family, not very deep. I know, like, you know, even some of like the you know, like the traditional family games that you would have gotten at your, you know, local stores back before, you know, board games became kind of the, you know, like your Saris and stuff like that, like games that games that are like a year ago, I would have been like, oh, do we really have to play that? I'm kind of going, yeah, that doesn't seem too bad. Like, you know, maybe Saris not too bad. Like the whole randomness and non-deep thinking, non-commitment thing isn't as bad as I used to think it was, you know, or at least it, right now it just kind of gives that nostalgia and easy and comforting feeling is worth more than a, you know, super thorough, high intensity game scoring mechanic or something.
Mm-hmm. So. No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. As far as I can also, you know, I do like, as far as like, there's certain movies I do like to watch repeatedly. There's some that I'm just like, well, I've seen it and I, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether I see it again or not. But there are certain movies, like, you know, specifically that I'm a fan of, but there's also, I'm finding, and this is true with games as well, currently, like, especially at the beginning part of this whole thing, there were certain themes I just was not interested in playing with while I was in the beginning parts. Like, I didn't want to play any post-apocalyptic stuff, you know what I mean? And I've always been a big fan. You know, I love post-apocalyptic stuff generally, but the beginning parts of this, I was just like, nope, don't want to do it. Nope. You know, like, and even like I wasn't really playing a lot once the pandemic started, because again, usually, you know, need to play with other people and stuff like that. I mean, although we have talked in the past about, you know, solo games and stuff like that and playing remotely, I've done a little bit of remote play. You've done a bit more. But you know, like the remote play that I've done has been fantasy stuff. And the remote play that you've done has been, well, obviously the D&D stuff is a fantasy stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you've also been playing some Star Wars
stuff. Imperial Assault. Yep.
Yeah. Imperial Assault. So, but yeah, I've just like, even video games, the video games that I do play, which I don't play that frequently, but I do play from time to time, are either the stuff I wanted to play was either, like exploration. Like I couldn't really go too many places, but I could explore this weird like alien world. Like I was playing this game called Astroneer for a while, and even some like Minecraft and stuff like that, you know, again, exploration. At one point I started getting, and I've still been into it now, but I hadn't played Grand Theft Auto 5 for a while, but at one point I just wanted to like walk around in a city and have other people around and stuff like that. And so doing that in Grand Theft Auto, admittedly, there are people, you know, in flying motorcycles and missile launchers and stuff like that, but still it was also, it seemed like a bit of normality. So I think that, like understanding the theme of the game that you're looking at. And again, it could be something very, very simple. That's like a comfort game, like a Monopoly that you remember from when you were a kid, or maybe it's Carcassonne or something like that, you know, which has got a very, again, like a theme of basically just like, you know, kind of grabbing
building
fantasy.
And, building and having fun.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that the themes and that kind of thing can definitely hurt or help. You know what I mean? Like sitting down and being like, man, I'm really stressed. Well, I'll play this, you know, like a video game. I'll play this like multi-person or multiplayer, you know, like FPS, super competitive, stressful game. Maybe not the great idea right now, you know?
Like I'm not missing out playing Pandemic with my friends right now.
Right, exactly. Also not necessarily something that you're interested in. I can totally understand that. So yeah, like, so the thing is about like trying to play games right now. We're in a limited pool of people we can play with. Generally, you're either playing with your family, you know, whether it's your you know, significant other or significant other and kids, or you know, extended family that you might be living with, something like that. You know, and that gives you obviously specific things that you can do, specific types of games you can play, or you get into something like remote gaming or solo gaming. I've done a little bit of solo gaming and I've done a little bit of remote. Have you done any solo gaming during this time?
Not really. I know that I've looked into it a little bit. I haven't really done much outside of, you know, some video games and stuff like that, but
sure,
board games and stuff, I don't think I've done any solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At least nothing that's coming to mind right now. I know I've looked into a bunch of stuff, especially when we were researching for the episode, but
episode 24, in case people are wondering. Episode 24, we talked about solo games. The only solo gaming that I've really done, it has been, I've messed with this skirmish miniature game called Planet 28, which I like. And it was, it's kind of a very indie kind of game. And they, well, he, Nick, who's the only, he's the person who made it. He released some solo rules and co-op rules. And so I was messing with those because I do want to do a battle report. So I've been messing with that. But otherwise, as far as remote play, I've remote played on Tabletop Simulator with my friend Malev, and we played Relic Blade, which is a fantasy kind of skirmish miniatures game. And like I said, you've been playing D&D with Roll20 with a group, right? And also, you guys have been playing Imperial Assault sometimes.
Right, there's some other RPGs.
Fantasy Flight. Yeah, and you said, yeah, there have been some other RPGs as well. So you've been doing a lot more of the remote stuff. And the remote stuff we talked about in episode 22. So if you're interested in trying to find some ways to do some of that stuff, you can go check out those episodes as well if you haven't already. But besides playing with your gaming, there's also other ways to find like positive, and I don't want to say busy work, because I don't think it's busy work if it's...
Right.
If it helps you out, if it helps kind of like reduce stress and things like that. And I've always been a big fan of painting miniatures to reduce stress, telling people about how it's a good hobby. You're focusing on something, you're working with your hands. And this is even before, you know, the pandemic and everything like that.
Right. But no, you've always been the kind of the Bob Ross of
well, I don't know about that,
miniatures.
I don't, like I certainly don't have his hair. But yeah, it's but it's not just for miniatures. Yeah, exactly. It's not just minis. You know, I mean, obviously you can now that frankly, we kind of have extra time, you know, because we're not going and doing outdoor stuff as much. I mean, you still might be going out and, you know, hiking and doing things like that and whatever. But like a lot of activities like you with three children had a lot more sports stuff that you used to have to take care of.
Oh yeah. It was insane. Yeah, yeah. Like we would, you know, basically from the time we got done school until like 9 o'clock at night, I was busy. And then usually, 1 or 2 days a weekend all the time. It was just, just what it was. If I could game once every 3 or 4 weeks, I thought that was a huge win. Whereas now it's like, you know, when we go to figure out like the next D&D session, it used to be like, we had to like, plan out for the six of us like 6 to 7 weeks out just to hope to get a date that we could all kind of commit to. And now it's like, well, I guess we could do next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's finding time has never been a little easier, honestly, in a lot of these situations, you know, and that's a lot of tabletop gamers are finding that as well, because it used to be a lot of, you know, with me, we don't have any kids, but there was a bunch of traveling, you know, for going to conventions for the YouTube channel and stuff like that. And, you know, just other things. And so that would mess up schedules sometimes and things like that. But now it's sort of nice to have the extra time to find that kind of stuff. Like if you're a board gamer, you may not be able to play directly with people other than maybe your family or something like that. Right. But you now have time, you know, all those times when you open up a box, you open up a box of board games and you're just like, oh, this is such a mess and everything's all over the place. I wish I had little baggies for each, like, you know, different color of meeples. And I wish I had this and I had these things set up and I really got to get more sleeves or rubber bands that broke or whatever, all that kind of stuff. Now is the time. You can go through all of your board games. So you got that giant wall of board games in your, you know, game room or your basement or whatever. Now is the time in which you can go through them and determine, you know, like which ones need to be refreshed in some fashion. Like, do I need to sleeve the cards? Do I need to, like, you know, reorganize? Did we put this together in a mess last time, you know, because we wanted to go do something else?
Yeah, I've been seeing some really cool stuff being posted, like on Instagram and other online, like Twitter and stuff like that, of like people that have come up with some organization projects. Some have just been doing, like, you know, creating their own like 3D prints that just fit in boxes. Like I saw one just the other day that they did one for Munchkin. They were sick of the cards being messed up every time they open it. And now, like, the dice and everything all fit into it. And it actually looked really well done. It looked like it had come off the assembly line, because they even had, like, the Munchkin logo kind of, like, indented into it and stuff like that.
That's fancy. Yeah, but, I mean, if you've got a 3D printer, like you could start to, that becomes a new project right. to work on to get your mind off of stuff is to 3D print cool divider things for the insides of your board game boxes and
right.
stuff like
that. But I know that like it seems like everybody's buying more stuff online right now. So you've got boxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, cut up those cardboard and make, you know, cardboard dividers and stuff. I mean, there's
if you don't have a 3D printer, you out there. Probably got scrap cardboard. That's a very good point. Yeah, we just got rid of a whole bunch of scrap cardboard. And I had used some of it because I bought, you know, those things that you put in your closet, they hang off the pole that you put your, you hang your clothes on. And it's like a cloth kind of like series of vertical boxes. Like there's a thing that goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Now I know.
And it's, yeah, and it's generally used for shoes, right? For the most part. And they have like a soft bottom to each of the like little shelves. It's like a vertical. Yep. This one's like seven shelves maybe. And you hang it off the pole and all that kind of stuff. I was looking at this spot in my basement right near my painting area. And I'm like, if I could get one of those that had like a harder surface to the bottom of each of those shelves, it would be perfect. And I looked and looked and looked and they're all kind of soft on the bottom. So I just bought one. And then when it showed up, I happened to have a box of that something had shipped in, a big box that had like, I think, double thickness corrugate. Like it was a huge box. I got some lighting equipment in. So I used the corrugate and I cut it up to the exact right size, which was like 11.5 by 11.5. And I just slid the cardboard into the bottom of each one of those shelves. And now it sits just out of view in the camera, but it's over to the wall in my basement hanging off of the joist. And I just have this very skinny, like hanging from the ceiling, like now seven shelf little thing just to put like models I'm working on and like extra stuff and all kinds of things like that. And so, yeah, just finding little projects like that and potentially using cardboard, you know, for making little things like that, I think is a great way to just kind of feel like you're getting crafty. And it's stuff that you would have thought was a really good idea, you know, before, but you're just like, yeah, but I got to just find the time, you know. And there's so many more times when you're like, but I'd rather just play a game than think about, you know, taking the box apart and trying to figure out a better way to put it back together again or something like that.
I'm just happy I had time to play the game, much less try to organize it. And now the opposite is true.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think that's a big deal. I think that you can do that, go through your board games and figure that stuff out. Plus you can also figure out, you know, and we've talked about this in the past that I didn't look this one up. I forget what the episode number is, but there's an episode like where we talked about like when it was time to let go of games, you know?
Right.
Now's a time when there are people out there who are also like, well, I'm kind of interested in some games and they're maybe looking on eBay and then you could maybe be getting rid of some games that you haven't used in a long time. Now's the time to at least very least go through and look and determine, am I still interested in this game? Is this a thing I still want to do? There's also, honestly, it's a good time now too, if it's a game you do like, to go check the website and see if there's an FAQ, see if there's any like,
updates, like expansions,
cheat sheets that helps you understand the rules better, all kinds of stuff like that.
Right, and there could be some craft stuff you do with it too. Like maybe it just comes with like cardboard cutouts or something like that, and you want to craft some new stuff. I've been getting into a couple of YouTube channels where they're just crafting stuff like from stuff around the house, basically, you know, like Pringle cans and. You know, pieces of like discarded plastic and
like
everything
for like
else.
And then fantasy towers and stuff like that for like almost like
a well, they were even like he did like one. He made like a whole like train, like a steampunk train, like locomotive out of it.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
And you know, he even did like LED wiring and all that stuff. So he got really fancy with it, but it was mostly stuff from just around his house that he just challenged himself to do. For a particular game, he wanted, you know, the setting in that, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is if you're a board gamer and you've got a bunch of board games that have a lot of miniatures in them, now's also a good time to start looking into trying to paint them. Like I said earlier, like that's the kind of stuff that I've been focusing on a little bit with the folks from Board Game Geek for some of these virtual conventions. But if you're a player of... you know, Shadows of Brimstone or, I don't know, all kinds of different things. A lot of the board games these days come with a lot of miniatures. And so if you're thinking to yourself, you know, well, I always wanted to think about trying to paint these miniatures, but I also like to play it a lot. So I didn't want to have the downtime of them, you know, being on my painting table or I've never even painted before and I don't even have a painting table, whatever. Now is the time to start looking into that as well. not just for board game folks, but also obviously for the people. Like, there's going to be, when this is finished, there will be a lot of people with in the wargaming miniature world who will show up to conventions, shops, their local club, whatever, with fully painted armies, finally, hopefully. That's more than there were before, at least. You know, there are still always going to be people who show up and are like, well, you know, I had that whole pandemic and I was totally going to paint some stuff, but then I just started, you know, watching anime or whatever it was that, you know, that draws your attention. And there's nothing wrong with that. Whatever you got to do to get through it. But now is a time when you can get a bunch of things done. You've got the extra time. You've got the like I've been saying for years, the painting tabletop miniatures and things like that, in my mind, is a very cool hobby because it does help to focus your mind. It's a stress relief. You're working with your hands. You know, you can listen to a podcast. You can listen to an audiobook. You can be whatever. Maybe you can watch something while you're doing it. I can't do that myself because I end up just watching the show and I did to stop painting. But other people can do that kind of stuff. And it helps, you know, like kind of center you a little bit, for lack of a better term. It helps to kind of calm things down. Your thought process is predominantly on, like, let's say the audiobook you might be listening to and what you're doing in front of you, that kind of stuff. So you have the time, and you can also start learning new techniques potentially, or you could decide to start trying your hand at, kit bashing, models, scratch building terrain. There's a lot of stuff that you can do, you know, and you don't need other people around to do it. It can be kind of solitary, but you can also use that time if you're interested. And I know you've done a bit of this, but you can also use it to sort of teach your kids, like if you're mm-hmm. or friends or family or whatever, who are interested, you know, how to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone just this week about, using the WizKid pre-primed minis mm-hmm. for teaching kids and other people, to do paintings, because that mixed with like contrast paints, which helps with a lot of the shading and highlighting, you know, out of the bag. It's not perfect, but I mean, for the beginner, it's a huge quick elevation. You can get some pretty decent looking miniatures pretty quickly from new people and get them really excited, like, wow, I didn't know I could even come close to making it look like that.
Yeah, WizKids has got a line of fantasy miniatures, both for D&D and Pathfinder, I believe. And they are, they're inexpensive, they're plastic, and they are, basically, you can paint right on them, because they say that they're pre-primed. So normally with a model, you have to build it and then spray primer it. These are already built and already have a primer on them, so you can just immediately start painting over them. And the contrast paint you were talking about is Games Workshop's contrast paint. It's a new line of paints that is designed, you put it on kind of thick, and it's a kind of transparent paint, but it pools in all the recesses and then gets a little bit darker.
Kind of a wash and a paint in one, yeah.
Yeah. So the idea that, like, initially when they first launched that contrast line, they were aiming it towards, like, maybe newer painters or people who were trying to paint quickly. But a lot of folks like myself who've been doing it for a while have found the real benefit in using them as well. Not as the entirety of the model, but as to help speed things along in certain spots, I find that they're kind of invaluable in a lot of different places. And I've been using them a lot, generally over kind of a different, like I prime everything black and then I spray it from above with like a white before I start painting. And then that gives it this sort of kind of like lighting from above, like the sun is coming down and hitting the model and stuff like that, but you still get shadows on the armpits and underneath, you know, all the dark parts that it should be. And so, learning these new techniques, and Lord knows if you want to learn new techniques, there's YouTube that will give you a zillion and a half different techniques for your, for your miniature painting and things like that. Now's a good time to watch a bunch of that stuff. If you can, you got some extra time and you're tired of Netflix or whatever, watch a bunch of those things, find some new people to follow on YouTube and learn how to paint miniatures, whether you're a war gamer or whether you're a board gamer, or even if maybe, you know, you like other types of games, you like D&D and you've got a whole bunch of kobolds and you're a GM, you can probably very quickly paint kobolds, you know, and go that direction. And if you're like a CCG person, if you're into collectible card games, you can definitely also take this time to some degree to go through, you know, you've been going and playing every Friday night at the Friday Night Magic at your local shop, and you spend time doing that and other tournaments and things like that. But now you've got time to sit down and actually go through all of the cards and all of the boxes underneath your bed and in your closet and all those places right. and start to determine, like, you know, do I need this one? Do I need that one? You know, maybe it's just into organizing. Maybe it's just like everything's all over the place and it's hard to find. Now you can organize it, make it easier to find. So when you need to build decks again, you'll be able to find the cards that you want from the different sets, the different rarities, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I think that kind of stuff is also a good thing to focus on currently because you've got the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like maybe, you know, you've never DM'd before. You've always DM'd doing, you know, like pre-built campaigns. Start building your own worlds or your own campaign settings and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't get to use it, but, you know, it'll be fun to kind of play around with go ahead.
Yeah, it becomes a creative outlet for you because, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, you can, it gives you something to think about other than what's going on. It gives you something to think about that allows you to have a lot more control. And right now, most of us, or a lot of us at least, don't have a lot of control in the things that they want to do every day. And so being able to say, I'm going to build my own world so that we can either play this campaign, you know, virtually or you know, remotely or however, or I'm going to build it and work on it. And so when we can start playing back in person again, my gaming group, I'll have this whole thing constructed. Because it's hard when you are preparing for gaming now. You know, you're preparing every week or every 2 weeks for your thing, and you're like the DM. It's hard to then also be working on something separate or something new. And this, again, gives you a little bit more time. So,
right. Or maybe, you know, like I know a lot of people have always, you know, it seems like every gamer at some point has come up with, like, you know, now's the time I'm gonna build my game. Or, like, you know, start prototyping it. Like, you know, now you can write out your rules. You can start coming up with the game pieces, all this stuff, you know, like get stuff prepped for that you want to, you know, that you've been putting in the back burner.
You know, it's always been something where generally, I don't know, I feel as if, first of all, almost any gamer, once they've been doing it long enough, if you've been gaming long enough, the potential, the chance that you will probably start working on your own game design gets higher and higher every year that you become, that you're a gamer. Not all gamers try to become game designers at some point, but a lot of them do. And the longer you've been a gamer, the more likely you're going to be a game designer and to go down that road. And the thing that's so interesting, and this is coming from a person who has been a game designer before. I have designed a couple of different games with a friend of mine. But it was back in the mid 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, even now today, there are so many more, like, you know, resources. Obviously, like, yeah, I mean, like, you know, you could design a game and sell it as a PDF, and there are multiple different places you could sell it, or you could sell it direct through your own website using something like, I don't know, Squarespace or Wix or one of those places, finding a plugin that allows you to sell PDFs. You could sell direct that way. You know, I mean, there's so many different ways you could sell a game and also sell STL files for your 3D printer so people could print out their own board or print out their own playing pieces or whatever. I mean, like, there's so many different things you can do now as a game designer and now is the time to be able to focus on it if you're interested in going down that road. You know, it's a good way to get going.
Absolutely.
Have you thought about doing any game design?
Not really. But I do see the barrier. You know, it was like no, I will never ever do a game. To the barriers have definitely come down. To the point where I, you know, if someone's like, "Oh, that'd be cool to work on," I would be like, "Oh, I'd probably help you with that." Like,
well, you've done some 3D design stuff for gaming, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've done some pieces and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, it's
heading in that direction.
Yeah, so I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Like, you've been talking about possibly doing something, maybe?
Yeah, I've had some ideas. Again, like I said, back in the kind of early to mid 90s, me and a friend started a small little game company, a little hobby press, as it was known back then, meaning that you had a day job and this was just something you did for fun.
Right.
But I mean, we had a booth at Gen Con back when booths at Gen Con were considerably cheaper. And, you know, back when it was still in Milwaukee and, you know, there was like 16 to 17,000 people showing up. Now it's 70,000 people showing up and it's in Indianapolis and the booths are a lot more expensive. But yeah, and we sold it, you know, like our first game was we sold it. We got it printed at the local Kinko's and we packaged it ourselves and put it into remember jewel cases like in CDs, the plastic case that goes around the CD. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So we, you know, we needed a package to be able to put these games in, but we didn't want to buy, you know, 1,000 or 10,000 boxes. We needed something that we could buy in small quantities. So we bought these plastic jewel cases from the local CD shop. And then we just made sure that everything fit inside the jewel case. And then we got them shrink wrapped at a local company here in town. And then we sold them that way. And people would be like, oh, so it's a computer game? You'd be like, no, it's not a computer game. There's no disc in there. It's just everything fits inside there. So it's right, nice right. And you can throw it. And they would be like, oh. And yeah, you know, so we had to answer that question a lot. But I mean, nowadays, that exact same game, we just sell as a PDF. So people can buy it and print it out and things like that. But we'd still, at this point, we don't really go forward with the company too much anymore or do any more design. But we designed three different games. And, you know, it's fun. But nowadays, I think it would be, like I said, potentially a lot easier, especially, you know, with 3D printing and doing all those different types of things. I mean, in a Kickstarter, there was no Kickstarter back then, you know, so, so yeah, right. there's a lot of options to you to do things with your time. You think about making a campaign, like rather than designing an entire game, you thought about that, just making your own campaign setting?
Yeah, that I've definitely have started coming up with some ideas. Probably would start off with some one shots or, you know, small campaigns versus a full blown campaign. Mm-hmm, but yeah, definitely. Now that I've especially started being able to run more and seeing kind of like what stuff I like, what stuff I'm like, yeah, I could go without it. And I've had time, like YouTube for me used to be a very rare occasion for me to watch, whereas now I watch probably, I don't know if it's half my time, but a good deal of my time is now YouTube. So mm-hmm. I found a lot more stuff with like,
you know, your screen time, not just
my screen time. Yeah. Like yeah, I'm watching
not 12 hours a day. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. It hasn't gone that bad yet.
Yeah.
But I'm watching like some channels that are just like D&D puzzles, you know, like, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of like riddles and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I see how that game can be cool. And, you know, I'm understanding more of how that stuff is and what stuff I like. So I could definitely see myself throwing that out there of, you know, that's what I, you know, I'm going to do this, but.
Can you make a cool, like a one shot, like campaign setting, whether it would be specifically for D&D 5th edition or whether it would be, you know, agnostic or something like that. You could kind of do something like that and then make it a free PDF and then, you know, let people at, who follow the Game 4 podcast know about it and then they can download it and, you know, go from there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of time that we've got in our hands and there's obviously some stress and anxiety and things like that. And so, I've found that it's helped to stay busy and to try to, get, you know, basically like my mind on other things and tabletop gaming, I think can help a lot with that. It's way better than looking at the news or Twitter.
right. Yeah. Like I used to love like Aaron Swartz, TV and movies and stuff like that. The very political stuff, like, I loved watching that, and my taste for that has gone out the window the past couple of years. Like,
oh yeah,
like I don't care anything about knowing about, you know, the conspiracies or whatever is going on in government. Like, I just, that's not my entertainment. I want something, you know, happy and fun.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's really the whole point of gaming. Games should be fun. I've been saying that for years. And so, if you're, you know, finding that you've got some, like I said, some issues and you're bummed out, then focus a little bit more on your tabletop gaming. Even if it's something you can't do with your friends right now because you don't play remotely or anything like that, you know, just start going through your board game collection and figuring out, well, I could reorganize this or I could 3D print a cool divider that goes in this box or, you know, build stuff out of cardboard, whatever. There's a lot of different options. There's a lot of different things you can do to kind of focus your time. And many of us have got a lot of time these days. So, hopefully this will help a bit. But yeah, absolutely. So, we got anything else? You got any other ideas or or points?
No, yeah, just find what's enjoying about it. Don't play games to stress yourself out. Don't stress about not playing certain games. You know, find something that's fun. You know, and enjoy it. Like you know, find stuff to you know, look at the positive side of things right now. And
yeah, absolutely. Well, again, I want to thank you folks for listening to this episode of the Game 4 podcast. If you've got questions or comments and you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment below. If you're listening via your favorite podcast player or just aren't into the whole YouTube comment section thing, which I can understand, then you can feel free to reach out to us via email at podcast@imgame4.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also check out our website at www.imgame4.com. That is www.imgame4.com. Thanks.